Hello and welcome, Breakthrough Success listeners. I'm your host, Mark Guberti, and this is the podcast where you'll learn how to achieve the breakthroughs you've been looking for in your business and life. If you want to grow your content brand, you'll definitely want to add my latest book, Content Marketing Secrets, to your reading list. This book will teach you how to create, promote, and optimize your content for growth and revenue. You can get your copy at Mark Guberti, that is Mark with a C. So markguberti.com/book. And now, let's dive right into the show. For episode 88 of the Breakthrough Success Podcast, we are going to talk about generating over $35 million in leads with our guest, Alex Berman. Alex is the co-founder and CEO of Experiment 27. He is responsible for generating over $6.5 million in B2B sales and over $35 million in leads for his clients. He also creates weekly videos to help agency owners grow their businesses and bring in more revenue. He teaches them how to optimize B2B sales cycles and put inbound marketing strategies into place. And now, without any further ado, it is my pleasure to welcome Alex to the show.
Hey, Mark.
Alex, it is such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success Podcast. And before we get into leads and we focus on that, I'd love to get some backstory. So when did you first decide to focus on lead generation?
So I think all the way back in college, because what I realized was there's nothing a business wants more than more business, right? Because I was trying to think about, I wanted to be a successful entrepreneur. And the only way to really be a successful entrepreneur is to sell a lot of stuff. To sell a lot of stuff, you got to deliver value. So I thought, all right, what's the most valuable thing to do? And it's bring other companies business. And then, yeah, just working backwards from there. I started as a menu rewriter for restaurants. That was my first ever business. And even that was kind of lead generation, right? How to rewrite a menu in the right way to increase conversions for patrons. And then, yeah, then it just became about emails because that was the most effective channel.
Alex, thank you for sharing the backstory of when you first focused on lead generation. And now I'd like to talk more about the applicable use of lead generation. You've obviously been able to generate a lot of high-paying leads for your clients. So how exactly do you go about finding qualified leads, whether it's for you or for one of your clients?
Sure. So the first thing I like to look for are signals. So basically, crumbs that people would leave online that they're interested in a service that our clients are selling or that we're selling. For us, we sell marketing services. So the easiest signal would be if they're trying marketing themselves. We sell mostly to agencies. With Experiment 27, we do marketing for digital agencies. So if they've created a Behance or a Dribbble account, we found that they're a pretty good fit for our company. And then we use LinkedIn Sales Navigator or ZoomInfo to find company size. For our clients, a lot of the time, it is just company size and industry based on whatever portfolio item our client wants to focus on. So let's say, for instance, they want to sell to medical devices because they have a portfolio item for medical devices. Then we know to target companies over a certain size that make medical devices.
Alex, thank you for sharing with us your approach for finding qualified leads. And once you do get those leads to basically learn more about your product or service, there are some people who they don't want to charge a high price, like charging like $1,000 for a product or like $5,000 for a service just seems really far out there. So how do you get leads to pay higher prices for our products and services?
I love that $5,000 is like your high price. Our most agency clients sell six-figure deals, at least the ones that we work with. And some of them are even multi-million dollar clients. I guess the best example of this is our initial review, which we sell to agencies via cold email only. And it's about, used to be $8,500. Now it's $10,000 for this first month review. And the key to get them to pay more is to, I mean, it sounds kind of cliche, but it's to understand their problems. And the easiest way I found to understand their problems is to talk to people in their industry and then generalize it out. So for instance, when I send cold emails to, or when our team now sends cold emails to these agencies, we send this thing called an idea email where we have two ideas. The first is talking about referrals because we know based on our research that agencies get a lot of referrals, and we've kind of cracked the code on how to increase referrals, which is, you know, add more outbound channels. And then the second one's talking about their marketing, inbound marketing channel. So we say, hey, by getting on clutch.co, you can actually increase a lot of your inbound leads. And most of them at that time hadn't heard of clutch.co. So finding those two ideas and really delivering value up front is how you get them on the call. and then on the actual call themselves to get them to pay, you know, to get them to pay more, to get them to get more value, is to ask them questions. I like to approach sales calls kind of like a doctor would approach identifying what a client or what their patient's disease is. So I'll ask questions like, what have you tried for marketing in the past? Or how's your marketing team built now? Or what were your goals for last year and did you hit those? Basically, questions that surround the issue that we're trying to solve. And only based on those answers will I sell. I'm not into selling people that wouldn't get value from our product. And I'm also not into trying to push our product on somebody that even if they would get value before I fully understand the problem.
Alex, thank you for sharing with us how to get leads to pay these higher prices. And I love how it's a focus on solving problems and just making sure you're able to provide such a high level of value within the product or service that you provide.
Right. And it's not just like, because I've heard so many podcasts where it's just like deliver value to their clients, listen to your clients and they'll buy. But it's true. Like we are the offer that we're selling for $10,000 now, we started out selling it for $5,000 and we just started inching the price up. But the entire thing, it's a monthly review and it's based on what a director of marketing at an agency asked us for. She was like, hey, can you do this marketing plan where you look at these 10 bullet points? Then we tried selling that to somebody and they bought. And then from there, we got feedback and we just basically iterated it. Now it's 150 slides that we're selling for $10,000.
That is definitely, thank you for mentioning that other point, because it's one person who asked for it and more people had it. It's similar to how like someone will ask a question and that one question, it's like everyone else's question, but no one else was willing to ask it. So you could definitely get ideas like that from your audience of which types of problems need to be solved. And that could definitely inspire some of the products and services that you create. But no matter how good the pitch is, it's just natural for some people not to buy right away. Some people don't buy for a really long time. So how do you nurture relationships with people who don't necessarily buy the product or service right away?
Sure. And we're actually running into this issue now because we target only agencies. So there's maybe on a good day, there's maybe 3,500 companies in the world that would buy from us. And so we've reached the point now, especially because cold email was our number one lead gen channel, where every company that's going to hear about us and that would get value from us has heard about us. So what we've started doing now is training our guys on LinkedIn. We're doing more of an account-based sales model. And actually, we have two sales guys right now, and the way that they're splitting leads is just by passion. So like, let's say there's an agency called Fuzz in New York, which there is. And if one of our guys really passionately wants to pursue that, he'll take that as a lead. And then one of our other sales guys will take one of the other companies as a lead. So it's really taking that passion and then creating a plan that's going to appeal for these guys. For agencies specifically, what we found out is there are really two types of agency owners. One is one that's super into money. So if you say stuff like, yeah, we're going to 10X your leads, or we're going to get you, you know, $500 million in new business, or whatever it ends up being, that's going to really appeal to one type of person. But in the agency industry, there's also the artist. And the artist is very turned off by money and the concept of money, but they still want to grow their business. So it's like two completely different strategies to reach those. And it also changes based on gender, and it changes based on age. And so really what it takes when you're niching down, you're trying to get these 3,500 people, it takes a very specific approach per company. So the sales strategy just evolves and gets very, very intricate for each one of these people.
Alex, thank you for sharing with us how you nurture relationships with people who don't buy right away, because anyone who says no could eventually be persuaded later based on
it's not just
a variety.
Yeah, and it's not just saying no. It's like sometimes an agency will, like I was just in San Francisco pitching this agency, and they hired another company to do lead generation, to do something similar to what we're going to do. I know that guy's going to fail because he doesn't have the skills that we have. So in 3 to 6 months, I know they're going to remember how good our pitch was. And if they went with the other guy because he was cheaper than us or something, I know they're going to come back to us. So it's not even really needing to nurture them or follow up or send them videos and stuff. It's making that big of an impression by doing what we talked about earlier, by actually looking at and solving their problems, that's going to get them to come back. Like the ideal situation for me, if I'm going to lose a deal, is the sales guy that they hire is doing some ripoff version of what I pitched them. because I know that he's either going to succeed and that's great for the company, or he's going to fail and they basically nurtured themselves.
That is another interesting point, because I feel like some people, they want, if they see the sale not going their way, they'll give up on the pitch. But you never know what can happen with a company coming back to you, or even if you're just refining your pitching skills so that you're better able to take action on the next opportunity that comes up. And I can see that preventing a lot of people from getting more leads, that lack of desire to continue with that strong pitch, even when it seems like the customer is lost. But are any other things that seem to be preventing a lot of people from getting more leads?
Well, it's Gary Vee does an amazing job at this, but it's patience. Because like you said, these companies, they're going to be around, you know, I mean, people might give up on the pitches, but these companies are going to be around in 10 years. Or if they're not, the people that you're pitching, even if it's someone junior, might be a director of marketing like in the next 2 years. So it really is just trying your hardest and to deliver value, not trying your hardest to sell them, but trying your hardest to deliver value to every single person that you see.
Alex, thank you for sharing that key insight. And patience is definitely important regardless of what we do, especially if you're trying to land leads who end up buying products or services. And to expand the concept of things that hold us back a little further, I'd like to talk about potential, because that is a very important topic that basically determines what we're able to accomplish with the time we're given. So what do you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential?
So this is something one of my friends, Alex Hine, he runs this company called Modern Health Monk and Milk the Pigeon. And it's basically like all psychology for millennials. So he's talking to millennials like every single week. I'm a millennial too, and I hate that term, but it really describes what we're doing. And I think a lot of it, I think the first big one is self-awareness, meaning inability to take feedback. If you're sending cold emails out and you're not receiving a response, some companies I know would say, oh, hey, we sent to 100 people and we got no responses. Maybe we should send to 10,000 and see what happens. And that's the complete wrong approach to take. What you should say is, all right, how can I completely change the messaging? Because obviously I suck at this. How can I completely change everything I'm doing and try to get, you know, one response in 100? Most people don't do that. And then the other thing is consistency of doing the work. Like I just started doing stand-up comedy like 2 or 3 months ago, and now I've done 56 mics. And basically I started out not funny at all, and it was just chasing the laugh over and over again. And the reason why, and eventually I got people to start chuckling or whatever, but I bring that up because it's evolution of skills, right? If you can start extremely unfunny and you can end up in a month or two getting laughs from people, then you can start as somebody who doesn't understand anything about sales and eventually sell, you know, millions of dollars in business. It's the same exact process. It doesn't matter where you're starting from, but I think a lot of people see those people that are a year or two ahead of them, even like 6 months or 3 months ahead of them, and they think, oh, I'm never going to be that good. And then they just give up, or they lie to themselves and they just never get better.
Alex, thank you for sharing with us what you believe holds most people back from reaching their full potential. And part of reaching their full potential, obviously, to then reset a target for what your definition of your full potential is. Part of that journey is to embrace certain challenges along the way. And with challenges at the forefront of this question, I'm wondering, what is one big challenge that you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge?
All right. So I think the biggest challenge, especially when it comes to sales and selling, that I faced. So I had this one boss a while ago who's, it seemed like his mission was to get me to sell by the book as much as possible. So like we went through spin selling, he looked at my proposals word for word and would like change specific words to make them more appealing to the audience, like very much like neuro-linguistic programming. And then his boss, the CEO at the company, was basically like he would take a sip of liquor before he went into a business meeting, and he was just, I don't know if I can curse on this, I probably shouldn't curse, and he was just loose. So he would take a sip of liquor and he was just loose. So he would sell in a way that was just like you hanging out with a friend, right? He hit all the same bullet points as the master salesman, but he did it in a way that seemed extremely natural. And that was the lesson I learned from him is, yeah, you can follow the book as much as you want, but really the true master salesman follow the book without it seeming like they're following the book.
Alex, thank you for sharing that challenge and the powerful lesson you've learned during that challenge. And speaking of books, I am a really big bookworm. So one of the questions that I enjoy asking guests, because I know it's prize value for me and also for my guests, I mean, for my listeners, is what are three great books that would help us grow our businesses?
That would help you grow your business. Okay, three great books that'll help you grow your business. I think, so I get the most value out of books that aren't necessarily about, like, they're not business courses. So for instance, there was this one I really liked about ESPN. It's called Those Guys Have All the Fun. And it's basically about how the channel ESPN was built. But it's a oral history, and it goes through like how they raised money, how they put the channel together, and how they basically grew this company. So that one's really good. The one by the Nike founder, Shoe Dog. Shoe Dog is a really good one too, because it talks about the same thing, right? It's not like step one, do this, step two, do this. It's just his journey building up a shoe company. Really love that one. And then, you know what I really loved is the second book that Howard Schultz wrote about how he came back to Starbucks after a while. It's Onward. Onward's the name of that one. He came back to Starbucks after they were failing, and basically how he had to go through and like improve the quality of everything to get them to the next level.
Alex, thank you for sharing with us those three great book recommendations. Definitely a different take, because a lot of people, myself included, would think about the books that say like step one, step two, here are the tactics. But it's interesting to read the stories of successful people and see the struggle they had to go through, the challenges they had to overcome. So thank you for providing us with those great book recommendations.
Yeah, and I think it's more valuable to hear it like that, because it's kind of like you're sitting over coffee with them and just like hearing their life story. And it's reading bios. I found so much more value in bios. It's like skipping years of your life.
Interesting. I'll definitely add more bios to my list. You're definitely you're tickling my bookworm there. So I'll definitely be reading a lot more books of that type. But before we get to the end where you share with all the listeners where they can find you on the web, I'm going to flip the tables a little bit. So similarly to how I've been asking you a bunch of questions, what do you believe is one question that we should be asking ourselves more often?
One question that we should be asking ourselves more often. I think the most valuable question for me is always, am I doing a good job, right? Am I living up to whatever my own expectations are of myself? A lot of the times, it doesn't have to even be monetary expectations, but it's like, am I being true to my word enough? Am I doing the work that I say I'm going to be doing? And then is that work the highest quality that it can possibly be without missing a deadline? So I think that's the biggest question that people can ask themselves is, am I doing a good job, or am I living up to my potential? And then being brutally honest with yourself about that. And even asking one more question deep, right? On based on your response, what I like to do a lot of the times is I'll take whatever the first response is in my brain after I ask that question, and then I'll like roast that response. Like I'll try to figure out if that response, that gut feeling response, is actually true or not.
Alex, thank you for posing that question that we should be asking ourselves more often. And for all the Breakthrough Success listeners wondering, where can we find you on the web?
Sure. Tons of free content on sales and marketing is over at b2bsalestraining.org. And then if you're a digital agency and you want to grow your leads, you want more leads, you want more sales, check out experiment27.com.
All right, Breakthrough Success listeners, those links and the show notes will be at markgaberti.com/E88. Alex, it was such a pleasure to have you on the Breakthrough Success podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Breakthrough Success listeners, I need your help to keep this show running. I choose not to use sponsored ads in my episodes to provide you with a better experience. However, this decision gives me little money to pay for storage in my team, which comes over to over $1,000 per month. So please consider supporting the Breakthrough Success Podcast on Patreon by heading over to patreon.com/markguberti. For as little as $1 per month, you can help Breakthrough Success stay running while taking advantage of exclusive content and other perks that come with being a patron. To help support Breakthrough Success, head over to patreon.com/markguberti or search for Breakthrough Success on Patreon. That way, I can maintain the Breakthrough Success podcast so it stays running and provide you with valuable episodes.